Start first of all by adjusting your motivation and thinking that you're here in this occasion to listen to the most profound and extensive teachings of the Mahayana. And you do that in order to be able to benefit sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mother in the past and are experiencing various types of suffering are as vast as the vastness of space. So for their sake, you aspire to reach a state of perfect and complete enlightenment. A state that is characterized by the total elimination of all trace of negativity and the full development of all positive qualities. With this particular thought in your mind, please adjust your motivation and adapt a mental attitude that is suitable for this occasion.
Oji Rui Dinga Menchu Diva Damji Yongoni Temba Songa Nongjin Oji Dandua Ladon Jiva Nji Jigu Damji Ji Oji Dinga Ama Kangara Ganga Kangaraka Rimba Mambu Marasaria Oji Da Diva Layon Rimba Mambu Ji Yuva Yendu Nye Siddhi Rimba Mambu Di Mara Tobiago Oda Tapsiga Mentava Di
Ramji started tonight by quoting the great Arya Shantideva, who has mentioned that the teachings of the Buddha are like the medicine to pacify the suffering of the six types of migrators. When we examine the different types of sentient beings in whichever state of existence they are, we know that they go through various types of experiences, their various degrees of happiness, their various degrees of suffering that they have to go through. And Arya Shantideva states that it is the teachings of the Buddha, the advice that we receive from the Buddha, that acts as the ultimate medicine to pacify all suffering and establish the ultimate degree of happiness. When we talk about teachings, we make the distinction between what is called the realized teachings and the transmitted teachings. And in this particular case, the teaching or the advice that is described to be like the medicine refers to the transmitted teachings.
Or you then the back and the song and the bank, Chavayan, Songa, Naja, or you near Tizan, Jizan, 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 Zebala, or the Kin Zeba, or the Tujin Zeba, or Songan Zeba, or you then Tanikin Zebala, Zeban, Tayuaji, Yuari, the Kanga, Chedija, Dirsi, you lead your son of Dantamba Guni, you know the Ramaranga Chibayo Dingi, Kangala, Tanon, the Yobadi.
The great Lama Tsongkhapa has spoken about the deeds of the Buddhas of the three times, describing them as being countless activities of body, speech and mind. Now, although the Buddhas are very busy, in a sense, engaging in these countless activities, from the sight of the trainees, we do not always have access to all of them. According to the degree of our merit and karma, we might be able to come closer or have interaction and be benefited by some of these activities. But from among the three activities of body, speech and mind, it is said that the activities of the speech of the Buddha, which is the teaching of the Buddha, are the ones that always reach out and always benefit sentient beings. They are the ones we have most access to.
我觉得今天也没人理他上跟这边的那句，咱们这样找了，我就去进口路人把什么事那么上扬个有话的，我觉得咱不买个当不等于进口，有话的，我就打理个当不等于进口的话，那是你上定的，我在你话的结果忙不着你小心点多了，做把地主上定的，他妈的你用话见到，我咱口路他妈，我就打那听那个嘛，咱人把什么嘛的送话的。
And when we talk about the activities of the speech of the Buddha or the teachings of the Buddha, these are classified in the three major turnings of the wheel of the Dharma. The first one was given in Varanasi, and it was the teaching about the Four Noble Truths. The second one, which was given in the Vulture's Peak, was the Prajnaparamita teachings, and the last one was the teaching of the fine discrimination. And a huge number of other teachings, commentaries, and so forth, they fall into these categories. And having mentioned the Prajnaparamita as being the second of the turnings of the wheel of Dharma, Prajnaparamita is the Sanskrit term. If we translate directly from the Tibetan, we end up with the term of the perfection of wisdom. And it is said that the perfection of wisdom is the one and only path upon which all the Buddhas of the past, the present and the future have to rely upon for their enlightenment. Countless Buddhas have done it this way. Those who are doing it right now and those who will do it in the future will also have to follow this path. There is no other path than the perfection of wisdom.
And
Namsha was saying before that this perfection of wisdom is actually the one and only path to be followed. Whether you practice in sutra or whether you practice in tantra, this will be the main thing you have to put emphasis upon. And when you practice in sutra, you will be doing this directly. When you practice in tantra, you will have to first rely on these teachings as being your basis, your foundation. When we look at the teachings of the perfection of wisdom, we need to understand that these are teachings that are very vast and also very deep. And because of this nature, it is important to understand that they are suitable for a certain type of trainees. When we look at trainees, we can classify them in three categories according to their mentality and to their intelligence. We have those who have supreme intelligence, those of middling, and those of the least intelligence. And it is said that these teachings are actually intended for those with supreme intelligence. And again, with those teachings, we can again make a further classification and look at texts who directly and mainly deal with the subject of emptiness. And we can also look at other texts that, although they deal with emptiness, they don't do this primarily, or they don't do that in an open way. They do it in a hidden way. So emptiness can either be the direct or the hidden subject of various texts. The second category is texts such as the Abhidharma or the Lamrim. Having mentioned the Lamrim, we need to understand that within the Lamrim we can find teachings or paths that refer to the hearers, others that are suitable for solitary realizers, and of course those teachings that are suitable for the practitioners of the great vehicle. In each one of these three vehicles we have five paths. The paths are the path of accumulation, preparation, seeing, meditation, and no more learning. Starting from the first path, which is the path of accumulation. During the path of accumulation, the individual needs to work on amassing the two types of accumulation of method and wisdom. And this will be done by relying on merit and primordial awareness. Now, proceeding from the path of accumulation to the path of preparation, when one reaches the path of preparation, one will be engaging in practices that will allow one to contemplate the subject of emptiness. But in this case, emptiness is not comprehended directly. It is rather comprehended or accessed through a generic image. These two first paths, the path of accumulation and the path of preparation, are called the path of ordinary beings. Now, we mentioned the first two paths of accumulation and preparation, and we can also find a mention of these two paths in the mantra that we find in the Heart Sutra. The mantra starts with the syllable Tayata, and after that we have the syllable Gate, repeated twice, Gate, Gate. The first one refers to practices of the path of accumulation, and the second one refers to the path of preparation.
Or 我就他们两个人都不愿意，他们两个人主要了，全部从他们那上，天天你把就让他上去，买了过日子我顶着买，说是就让他们上，但第几次，他家里两个人在那，他就跟他爸爸跟他爸爸他们跟他自己女儿愿意，我在天天天天了，就从晚上他们就叫了几万元呢，就东北人东几十几多吧，我从这东北没定义愿意，第三个人就要没定义。 我在东北人就你自己去买几件的，东西自己到家的，心里当当当个过年，我就在这些区别就进了，给你的嘛就东北人每个人同安弄些，我从这同我同他们得了长久，把这三个的事的，把两个的把两个的把两个的把这三个的事的，我在东北人我从这到把咱们这样没吃过。 唐鹏自己当，唐鹏自己的人把忙不，就有啊人都，我就养当养的这个功能，把那个的把这三个的都功能拿上去，对呢？但功那就是啥，唐他们个你讲你讲的啥东坡你住，等你啥你吧，啥东坡，啥几吧，啥那吧，啥猪吧，啥东坡，啥鸡吧，啥狗吧，啥鸡吧，我的功能个搞定有的没？
So we started with explaining the syllables of the mantra. We have explained the first two, the gate gate, and after that we have the syllables paragate and parasamgate. And we need to understand that the whole mantra is actually an encouragement for us to look for liberation. It is understood that ordinary beings like ourselves, we always abide within cyclic existence. And by hearing this mantra, we are encouraged to look for the path of liberation. And liberation will be achieved as we progress gradually along this path. So the mantra is saying, move to the path of accumulation, move to the path of preparation, and from that to the path of seeing and the path of meditation. So when we move into the path of seeing, you know, through the force of our meditation, through the familiarity with the subject of emptiness, what we eventually do is to get rid of the generic image. So we come to the point where we can have this perceptual, this direct realization of emptiness. And all along we are working with the development of our calm abiding and special insight. Having completed this stage where we can have direct perception of emptiness, that doesn't mean that we have completed the path. It is not appropriate for us to stop there. Rather, we are encouraged to continue further. Because although we might have got rid of the generic image, still there are a lot of objects to be abandoned during the path of seeing. And further, there are objects to be abandoned during the path of meditation. So one proceeds through the path of seeing to the path of meditation, continuing to abandon all these different obscurations. One once enters the path of seeing, and during this path of seeing, one starts one's progress along the different grounds. So one moves from the first to the second to the third to the fourth and so forth, until one moves all the way up to the ninth and the tenth ground during the path of seeing and the path of meditation.
Or you that in the Imbayendu, or you that lam is it, or you that in it, so you need on Tongom Nima Remji Dru. You lam Druya Siji, or Tombanya Tobo, you see Chongaza Mayember, Tabji, Chashamba, Don Yiji, Savage, and Jisanji, Samji, Samba, you Tabji Namne, the Chonga Mayember, Tabji Namne, the Sherabji Namne, Sandimi, Sherabji Namne, Deon. Tabji Parson Dingy, Tabji Namedi, Tabji Parson Dingy, Tabji Songer, Sundingy, Tongom Nidi, Yodi Remji, Rubin, Tardi, Oda, Mazoba Lam, Oda, Nagadinga de Baranga de Barasanga de Buddha, Soduna, Shanchuri, Shanchuri, Oji, Nyomoa, Chichi, Rama, Shama, Sebadan. What Tijangpa Chirap Chi Ti Tam Chi Ma Chau Var Ti Tong Ti Sang Lu Tong Lu Guni Dung Tau Chi O Chi Sam Changpa Chirap Chi Sam Changpa Chirap Chi Pa Tam Chi Ma Chau Var Yang Tang Yang Tu Gom Di Tong Var Guni Gom Changpa Chirap Chi Pa Guni Oda Tisam Gom Sam Chi Guni Rim Chi Ma Lu Pa Lam Ti O Chi Da Tar Shang Gu Gu Yuwa Yen Tu Chi Li Tong Po Va Lam La Ma Lu Pa Kam Ni Tien Tra Go Chi Yu Tu Go Chi Karasego, Mugir Chidan, Lamdugo, Mugir Chidan, Oda, Nati, Yelam Nigi, Mugirti, Ridugo, Sanchu, Tobago, Mugirti, Zanding, Soa, Seduna, Jetaju, Tushi, Tendago, Litamboa, and I Jetaju, Jetatuba, Bonitani, Remji, Langa, Remji, Drugua, Juda, Dumbra, what you sound like in him.
As one is moving along the four first paths, it's not just that one is working towards the development of calm abiding or special insight of realization of emptiness. All along, one is trying to develop one's method as well as one's wisdom. And of course, the wisdom side will be developed by focusing on emptiness and working this subject of emptiness. But one should never forget one's method, and one's method is the development of one's bodhicitta. As we move along this path, it is quite important to always keep united this method and wisdom, to allow one's method to influence one's wisdom, and to allow one's wisdom, one's understanding of the perfection of wisdom, to influence one's method. As they influence each other, they actually enhance and they strengthen each other, and this is how we can combine them along the path. Now, by continuing in this way, by moving through the path of accumulation, preparation, seeing and meditation, eventually one comes at the end of the path of no more learning. And in the mantra, we go from the syllables gate, gate, paragate, parasamgade, and finally we reach the syllable bodhi. Bodhi translated as enlightenment. So this is the path of no more learning. One reaches this state of enlightenment where all of one's afflictions are eliminated, all of one's negativities are eliminated, and at the same time all possible qualities are fully developed and they flourish. It is quite important right from the beginning to set the achievement of that particular state as one's goal. And already from the time of the basis and all along through the path, one should never forget one's objective, one should never forget one's goal. The goal, of course, will be reached at the time of the result. Enlightenment is reached at the end of the path, when one culminates the path. And when we look at the end, at the last syllable of this mantra, we have the syllable soha. And the syllable soha is actually the syllable that carries the blessing or the encouragement to say that, yes, at the end of the path you will reach such a goal, you will reach such an objective of enlightenment if you move in the prescribed way.
Hoji Tao Dambu Gona, Jizan Shamba, Oda, Deni, Garden Galayla Yerpe, Deni, Jeva Shamba, Gombu Shamchu Denga Song, Oda Ti Dona, Oji Satanga, Dom Namni, Dom Namni, Chaperin Zebadi, Dambu Tamana, Oji and Deni.
Let's look now at what happened at the land of the Aryas in India, where we have the great master Asanga. The great master Asanga remained in meditation for a number of years until he was capable to directly perceive Buddha Maitreya. And as he perceived Buddha Maitreya, eventually he was taken up at the pure land of the Buddha, and he was a transmission of the five main texts was passed on to him. And eventually, Arya Sangha also composed, put down in a writing form, these five texts.
Garzago, Jilami, and Drivadi, 我觉得
Now the reason why we mention Aryasanga is because, as we say, he's the one who put down in written form the five main treatises, the five main texts, and the Uttara Tantra, the Sublime Continuum, is one of those five texts. Rinpoche will rely on the commentary that is composed by the great Dharmaraja, and in this commentary, in the beginning, we have a short biography of Aryasanga. So Rinpoche would like to spend this first session by giving you an idea of the life and the story and the achievement and attainments of Aryasanga. So when we look at the main figures in Buddhism, we have two main figures, Nagarjuna and Asanga, and there were great prophecies that were done, you know, concerning these two beings. Now, when we look at, as we say, Nagarjuna and Asanga, together with Asanga, we also examine the great master of Vasubandhu. They had a relationship of a teacher and disciple. And it is said that they were born and abiding in the western part of India, in a place that was called close to Udayana. It should fall somewhere between the border of today's Pakistan and Afghanistan. Now let's examine a little bit the family of the great master Asanga, and especially his mother. His mother was said to be of a Brahmin caste, so quite a high caste. And how she got to be reborn as a woman, it is said that in a previous life she had a rebirth as a man, and it was a pandit, a very well educated man, and this man got to debate with Jenrezig, a manifestation of Jenrezig, and as he was debating with Jenrezig, he got a little bit excited and he got carried over, and he turned and said to his opponent, "Oh, you know, why do you debate like this? You know, you debate like a woman." And of course the manifestation of Jenrezig turned and said to him, "Due to what you have said now, in the future you're going to take the form, a female form, and you're going to come back as a woman because of what you said. Nevertheless, you still seem to be somebody who has the merit to be able to help in the propagation of the great vehicle."
Now
So, as I say, Rinpoche was just reading from the biography, the first part of the debate and the exchange of words that created the karma for that particular pandita to be reborn as a woman in a female form. Nevertheless, it was a very particular woman in the Brahmin caste who had great potential for doing something to spread the teachings of the great vehicle. So the biography continues now with the the mother of Arya Asanga, that woman who found herself reborn in India, and she always had this great interest for the great vehicle. But looking at her own situation, at the cultural situation, at the social situation in India, she understood that her capacity for spreading the Dharma, the great vehicle and so forth, was limited. So thinking about that, she said, as a woman I can do very little to spread the teachings of the great vehicle, so my best option is actually to get married, have a child, have a boy, and have this boy trained up to propagate these teachings. So she actually consulted with the king of the area with that particular intention. And not only did she consult with the king of the area, but after the, let's say after the task was completed, then she started giving advice to the king and say, you know, I don't think you're doing very well as a king. I don't think you can accomplish as much as you should. I think you should get ordained now and start working towards propagating the teachings of the great vehicle. So indeed, he got you know, the king got received ordination, received the vows of ordination, and he proceeded with his Buddhist education. He was extremely sharp, extremely successful, and he was capable of memorizing thousands of verses in a very short time.
As I say, Ramacha was just reading the part of the biography that we have already covered, and the text continues by describing the Buddhist education that this being received. So he said he received the teachings of the three Pitakas and very quickly engaged in the teachings of the Great Vehicle. Having engaged in those teachings, he developed special interest for the Prajnaparamita text. And he studied Prajnaparamita text who were dealing both directly with emptiness as well as those who had emptiness as a hidden object. Eventually he developed interest in Tantra, and he requested initiation in a particular Tantra. And during the ceremony of the initiation, of course, as you know, one has to offer a flower into the mandala. And when he offered the flower in the mandala, the flower fell into the area of Buddha Maitreya, and that was considered to be a great indication
of the connection with Maitreya.
Combat the Monada, Dirmonda was some you are, but they and do, Rubusha Gonsi,
Rudi, Sermon Java, some Marshals Gidini, or three children Didini, or that did that you long, Mamma Sanji, and then the government, Kurukin, Yantu Chambo, Yantu Osan Chambo, the Ruo Jaconi, Sanji Chamba, Mashonji, or the Tinens and the Yambers on the Jukayan Center, the Nagalu Gian Yambari, or that Ruo Jacon said, Tinachinity, Taji the Chamber to study, Tinachinity.
Now, we know that the great Asanga actually meditated for for many years in a cave up in the mountains. And there is a description now of this location. It is said that the cave was found in the mountain that was called Shakang. Shakang means the leg of the bird, right? It is said to be found at the eastern part of India. So Rinpoche was saying that he believes it is close to Burma, somewhere between the border between China and Burma, most probably in the province of Yunnan. It comes into the area of Kham. And the name of the mountain actually comes from its geography, from its topography, because if you look at the feet of a bird, you can see that it has three main parts, and so the mountain was also formed in this way of having two valleys and three ridges. And there are many stories related to this particular mountain. It said it was also blessed by the presence of the previous Buddha, who was meditating there for a long time, for as long as it took to generate concentration, perfect concentration. So it was a blessed place.
ཁྱི Shaki Mara in Dasha Toxibina Mara Debati Mara Shapago Darna da Karasuko Nyanga to Diva Yandu, what you shan the Yandu Madu Samgan, the Dachi, Sundriji Yang, the Vijitan Badrabalangas, Sundra Chansoma in Jiri Sam, Tenion, Duncan on the Lusanganani, Tenion Duncan on a young Yarip, but that Tenion Lusama.
Arya Sangha remained in this cave in a retreat for a total of 12 years. The objective of his retreat was to perceive the face of Buddha Maitreya directly, and he had decided that he would remain in retreat until he would have some definite signs. The first 3 years went by and he didn't have any signs at all. So disappointed, he got up and he thought, that's it, I'm leaving this retreat, I'm leaving this place. And as he left his meditation cave, he started walking down the hill. And as he did that, he happened to notice one particular thing. What he noticed was there was a part close to his cave where there was a very small opening, and that happened to be the nesting place of a bird. And he could see how the rock around the opening of the cave had become completely smooth. It had become smooth from the brushing of the feathers of the bird as it was flying in and out. And as he noticed that, the thought arose to his mind, like, look at what this bird has achieved, you know, through this coming in and out, through the brushing of his feathers against the harshness of the rock. He has completely smoothened up the surface of the rock. How could I, who have set as a goal to perceive Buddha Maitreya directly, give up on my retreat so easily? If the bird can smoothen up the face of the rock, then I should go back and continue. So back he went into the cave and remained in retreat for another 3 years.